We'll take turns. I call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Today's Thursday, the 16th day of March. It's now 9:27 a.m. And we have Senator French, Senator Terrio, Senator Huggins, myself, Senator Seekins, and honorary member for a short while here, my grandson, Christian Seekins. And you have to sit real still, Christian. Pretend like you're an old guy like Senator French over there.
I fidgeted quite a bit.
We're going to continue on with 306, Bill 306. We got kind of through the bill yesterday, had some public testimony. Do we have anybody that has indicated they want to be on public testimony today? Anybody in the audience? No one in line, no one in the audience. So we will close public testimony on the bill at this time. And I don't know if Senator Guess had any all of her questions answered on this bill or not. Were there any additional questions from members? We have three able people here from the Department of Labor. Go ahead, Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one general question about the bill, and that is, you know, is there any formal opposition to it? Has anyone come out, and any labor group, any business group, any interest group, any consumer group, and said, you know, this needs to be modified?
Whomever. Morning, Jane.
Good morning, Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Jane Alberts. Staff to Senator Bundy, SB 306 was brought forward on behalf of the Department of Labor. And at this point, our office has not received any queries about the bill in terms of opposition that we have heard so far.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't see any other corrections or additions. Are there any amendments proposed? Does anyone know if Senator Guess was going to propose an amendment of any kind? Well, this bill goes, we're done with it here. It goes to the floor next. Come on up, Paula.
For the record, my name is Paula Escovera. I'm Special Assistant to Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Chairman Seekins, we contacted Senator Guess's office and talked to her staff and yesterday and said if there was any questions, concerns, to please contact us. We have not heard from her as of when we came over here at 8:15 this morning.
All right. Well, I feel comfortable with the bill. Senator Terrio?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass from committee Senate Bill 306 with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal notes.
Is there objection? Hearing none, this bill's passed on to the Rules Committee, and we'll take a short recess. Good morning. Welcome to Judiciary Committee.
Good morning, Senator. Thank you for hearing the reviser's bill. For the record, my name is Pamela Finley, and I'm the reviser. This bill is required by statute. Its purpose is to clean up errors in the statute when the policy has already been decided and is clear. The source of it is our own review, suggestions from the executive branch. Sometimes members of the public will bring problems to my attention. I believe there is a sectional analysis with the bill, and I would be happy to answer any questions any member may have.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Terrio.
Section 27, 29, and does it refer to the National Petroleum Reserve? Is it just that there was a change in the federal reference, and so you're just adding the
Yes, they renumbered it.
Okay.
It what used to be 6508 has now become 6506AL. We wanted to keep there were references to the money dispersed under those sections, and so we included the money dispersed under the former provisions and added the new provisions.
So, Mr. Chairman, this is the NPRA fund?
Yes.
What happens if we don't make this change?
Probably a court would construe it to read as it reads.
Okay.
I mean, that's, in some ways, that's my test in the revisor's bill, is would a court construe it? I'd like to clean it up so that we don't have to have a court construe it. But.
Okay. Well, we just know that disbursements out of that fund are somewhat in question here in the building.
Yes.
And then, Mr. Chairman, so is there anything in here that as far as your criteria for evaluating whether it is just purely cleanup and then any kind of substantive change, is there anything that's in the gray area?
Yes. I think the only thing that even comes close is when we had to create a division because we kept talking about them. Actually, there were two divisions. One was elections. I can find that. It wasn't elections. It was the labor. Yes, section 17 on page 6, Division of Workers' Compensation Director. The workers' comp bill last year created this division and kept talking about the director, but they were never established in statute. Section 17 established them. The only question that I sort of worked with myself was who was going to appoint the director? And I just use the standard procedures that the commissioner appoints the director, which is that's the way it is done in divisions in other things. So that's the only thing that it probably has some kind of vague. And I don't mind taking it out, but we really should correct a division unless the legislature would want to deviate from the normal procedure of who appoints the director. This is what it is.
Mr. Chairman, since from your involvement last year on that, does that?
I don't think there'd be any problem with that.
Okay. Ready for a motion?
Yep.
I think it's probably.
Any other questions? Seeing none.
I think it's probably approaching 20 years since somebody tried to pull a fast one in the revisor's bill. So I feel comfortable that it's clean. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I would move out the CS for House Bill number 410, Judiciary. From committee with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none, this bill is moved out of committee and short recess. Okay, we're going to continue on with our calendar this morning. Next on our calendar is House Bill 326, and we have the sponsor here, Representative Kevin Meyer. Welcome, Representative Meyer, to the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, if I may ask my trustee staff to join.
Sure. This bill's so easy that the staff can handle it?
Well, actually, I had a previous engagement this morning, and I was afraid I was going to be late, and I think he's more geared up than I, but I would certainly like to introduce the bill to the committee and attempt to answer any questions the committee may have.
Okay, gentlemen, if you'll put yourself on the record, we're eager to hear your introduction.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm Representative Meyer, and with me is my staff, Mike Pulowski, and we're here to introduce to you House Bill 326. House Bill 326 includes the publishing or distribution of lewd material in the definition of harassment. This issue was brought to me over the summer by a constituent who was living with her boyfriend and had agreed to have pictures taken of the two of them. The dilemma was that they broke up, and the boyfriend then was using those pictures as a means to harass her. And the dilemma we found is that in our current statute is that it is limited to obscene electronic communication. And in this case, my constituent, her boyfriend had actually printed out the pictures and was posting the pictures, so they were printed. It was not electronic. And since the pictures were originally consensual, they're not covered under our existing statute prohibiting the production of lewd and obscene pictures. And since they weren't electronic, they're not covered under the current harassment bill, the number 4, that deals with electronic communication or telephone calls. So the point that this bill is trying to make is that when lewd pictures, whether they're printed on a website of that person or used as a, as long as they're used as a tool of harassment, it should be also included in the harassment statute. The conduct prohibited by House Bill 326 is limited to lewd and obscene. The reason why we did that is we're trying to walk the fine line between freedom of expression and an individual's right to be free from harassment. Very fine line. We did discuss our current harassment bill and whether or not it does walk that fine line. It has been challenged in the McCaleb versus State suit, and it was held up. So we feel like the harassment statute is a good statute, and we'd like to add this to the current statute. Mr. Chairman, that, in a nutshell, is the bill.
Questions for the sponsor this morning? Senator Terrio.
Why do you not have an immediate effective date? Any particular reason? And what about applicability? Do you want it applicable to crimes from the date of that it becomes effective moving forward, or if something's in the system already? Given that any thought or had discussion with the drafters?
Senator Terry, I don't believe we've thought much about the effective date. I'll ask my staff to see if he's thought of it.
Through the chair, Senator Terrio, again for the record, this is Michael Pulowski. The discussion's been limited on the House side as to the effective date. The issue of anything in the current process is, since it's not considered an offense and it wasn't prosecutable, it wasn't an issue. It really hasn't been a big discussion for us.
Okay. Is there objection to an immediate effective date?
No.
Senator Terrio, did you want to move that as an amendment?
No, and I'm trying to remember. We discussed this one time before, and if we add the effective date, does it trigger a title change? No title change amendments necessary.
Yes.
Okay.
Does it?
Are we getting two different conflicting head nods?
Okay.
So I don't think a title change will be that
I don't
deal to get past this bill. I think we can.
Can we just have
sure
staff come forward and just say something for the record? Because I know we did look into this on one other bill.
You can just walk up there, Heather. You don't have to move, Mike.
For the record, Heather Brake, staff to Senator Terrio. That question did come up in a previous Judiciary Committee hearing, and when I checked with the drafters, that does not trigger a title change resolution. It's a technical change to the title, so it does not require a resolution.
Okay.
You haven't changed the content, I guess,
right.
is what...
Content hasn't been changed.
Right. Okay. That's correct.
Okay.
We'll assume that that's the ruling since Heather told us.
She's got a pretty good batting average in my office.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move an amendment number one, that would add just an immediate effective date. I don't see any reason, really, to have a delay, and so I think probably sooner is better.
You think the state would have it, the Department of Law would have no objection to that, would they, Annie?
No.
No. Okay.
The only thing about immediate effective dates is for criminal statutes,
right.
it's sometimes better to have a particular date like July 1st.
Right.
But we don't have any objection to it.
Okay. Is there objection to Amendment Number 1? Hearing none, Amendment Number 1 is adopted.
And then, Mr. Chairman, just the second Senator question Chairman. About applicability of Annie. I'm wondering if we need to have any kind of a statement that applicable to, you know, crimes that were committed or offenses after, specifically after the effective date.
Well, this will be interpreted as applying
to that. Annie,
could
you introduce yourself?
I'm sorry. My name is Annie Carpinetti. I represent the Criminal Division of the Department of Law. Criminal statutes do apply prospectively. Oftentimes, there are applicability provisions, and I don't think that is in the title and applicability section. So you could do that. And this is a pretty simple bill. I don't know that it would be necessary in this particular one.
Yeah.
For more complicated ones, when you're talking about prior acts, then it's much more important than it would be in a simpler bill like this one.
Okay. So if it's not spoken to, it's just going to be after the effective date.
Sure, it would apply prospectively.
Ms. Carpinetti, along with got you there, what is a sexual act?
It's defined in 1141, as 470, paragraph 6, as a sexual contact or sexual penetration.
Any kind of sexual contact, then?
Okay. Sexual conduct is then defined as as touching particular areas of the human right. anatomy.
Okay. Other questions? Senator French.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Representative, thanks for bringing us yet another good bill on this subject. It seems like you are an unending stream of ideas that tighten up this area. We see this a lot in domestic violence cases or in other cases where you see, you know, sort of this kind of harassment, and so I'm really glad you're focusing on it. I just want to make sure I understand, you know, who the person is that we're talking about and who the target is. The way I read it, what you're after is if I'm intending to annoy my ex-spouse and I publish a picture of my ex-spouse, that's the crime. But if I'm intending to annoy her and I publish a picture of somebody else, that's not the crime. Yeah. Is that the way you understand it?
First of all, Senator French, I wish I could take credit for these good ideas that you're giving.
Well, I'm going to give you the credit.
They're my constituents. This is a really live, true case that happened. And yes, the intent here is that if I'm harassing you, then this bill would cover that. If I am trying to harass you by sending you electronic email of Paris Hilton, then that would be covered under the, my understanding, number 4 in the existing harassment bill.
I see. Okay.
So you are the
so
victim.
So this problem is all about publishing pictures of the person that I intend to harass or annoy.
That's
the idea.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator.
But under this, so if I go to a website and I start printing off pictures of Paris Hilton, does she then have a cause of action against me?
Yes, she would.
Okay.
From my understanding.
Let me ask you a question.
For the record, Mr. Chairman, if I could just follow up on that.
Oh,
it would if your intent was to harass Paris Hilton.
Well,
under
okay,
this section. Oh,
yes. But if I'm posting pictures of Paris up and down the fence,
mm-hmm.
there would be a cause of action?
Your intent is to harass her by printing out these pictures? And
For the record, Mr. Chairman, Senator Terrio, the key being in the harassment statute isn't necessarily the effect on the victim, but it's the intent of the person, of the perpetrator. So it would all hinge on your intent of whether or not your intent was indeed to harass Paris Hilton. If your intent was to harass the general public, then it wouldn't fall under this statute, by the way it's written.
The The statute that I read, number 4, is just a little bit vague, even to me, and depending on how you would read it, but makes an anonymous or obscene telephone call, obscene electronic communication, or a telephone call or electronic communication that threatens physical injury or sexual contact. So if it's just an obscene telephone call or an obscene electronic communication that does not threaten physical injury or sexual contact, that would constitute harassment if I know that it bothered the person, even if it was a picture of Paris Hilton sent to my ex-wife.
You have to have the intent to harass or annoy that person.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to necessarily be connected to any threat.
No.
Threat of physical injury or sexual contact. If I know that it would annoy someone to get this type of an email,
even
and I kept sending it to them.
Even an anonymous phone call.
Yeah.
Just by hanging up the telephone. If you hang up the telephone enough times on your neighbor, right, that can be harassment. If that's your intent, is to harass or annoy your neighbor.
Okay. All right. So in the case of someone sending a sexually explicit film strip of Paris Hilton to someone who they knew it would be annoying to, that would be harassment.
Under subsection 4.
Number 4, yeah. Yes.
Now, otherwise, under 6, it's if it's a photograph of the particular person you're trying to harass.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. This was confused there for a minute, but I think I'm straight now. Okay. Other questions? Senator Guest, did you have one? Senator Terrio, any more?
No.
Senator French?
It's only tangentially related, but you guys included in the bill packet the McKillop case. And I should have read your memo first, because I read the McKillop case twice, trying to figure out why in the world it pertained to this statute. And then I read your memo and saw why you included it. I did learn two things that I want to share with the committee about McKillop, though. One, our minority leader in the House was the DA on the case, Ethan Berkowitz. That was interesting. It was about a harassment case. It was about a person who kept calling the awake shelter and saying foul things to the person on the other end of the line at the awake shelter. And he was convicted of harassment, and the conviction was overturned on appeal because of problems with the jury instruction. But the McKillop case also dealt with an aspect of a bill we were talking about yesterday, which was what power the police can use when they effect an investigatory stop. And what their what rules pertain to that investigatory stop. We were talking about in the connection with when you can take photographs of a witness to a crime, and when you can take fingerprints from a witness to a crime. And it says here, a police citizen encounter can constitute a seizure for Fourth Amendment purposes, and yet not be custody for Miranda. So you don't have to. And it goes on to say, for example, the police are not required to give Miranda warnings during an investigative stop or detention of limited duration, even when considerable force was used in making the stop. So that was just related. It came up so perfectly yesterday during our discussion on that bill that I raised it today just because it came to my attention through having read twice through McKillop, and I had to get something out of it. I haven't read that case twice, so I'm done. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Huggins, any questions?
No.
All right. Is there any objection from the Department of Law to this bill? Yeah, Ms. Carpinetti, no? Okay, thank you. Do we have anybody online who wants to testify? Anyone in the audience who wishes to testify? Public testimony on the bill is closed. Discussion of the members?
Good bill.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill 326 as amended with zero physical note be moved.
Senator Huggins has moved the bill. Is there objection? Hearing none, bill's moved on to the next committee. Short recess. And we're back on the record. And does anyone have anything else to bring to the Judiciary Committee this morning? Any members? Seeing none, it's now 3 minutes till the hour of 10 a.m., and we are adjourned for the week.